response to our concerns. And we're also going to get somebody from Essential Energy who can come out and tell us what sort of strategy they're going to have in place with these significant job losses on the table.
Fire and Rescue New South Wales Chief Superintendent Peter Murgatroyd chatting to the ABC's Jen Ingle yesterday afternoon. 16 to 9, ABC News in the North West. And the Morning Show contacted the Emergency Services Minister, David Elliott, but he was not available to talk to us this morning. Yesterday we also heard concerns from the Mayor of the Gloucestershire Council, John Colton. He's been told the Bingra Depot will close, and staff have told him the Warialda Depot will close as well next.
Well, the staff have been extremely loyal to their company, to Essential Energy, but they're living in fear of losing their jobs, and they don't want to have to move away. The other aspect is, what's going to happen now during the storm season? Are we going to be out of power for a couple of days? And there's more than the impact of just losing their jobs.
Are the staff saying that to you, or are you just running the numbers, saying if we lose that many workers, how do we keep up with the demand when things like that happen?
Well, that came from staff members to me, yes. They said, yeah, the advice was buy a generator.
Yeah, buy a generator. Adam Marshall is the Nationals MP for the Northern Tablelands. Good morning, Adam Marshall.
G'day, Kelly. How are you?
I'm not too bad, but just those kind of comments are concerning. Buy a generator. Is he right, though?
Those comments are concerning, and same with Peter's comments. And in a way, it feels like Groundhog Day, Kelly. I think I was talking to you about these concerns that I had about 7 or 8 months ago.
Yeah, you have been talking about it for a while now.
When the AER first proposed to go down this path, I was very vocal in my opposition to what the Australian Energy Regulator, which is set up on a federal basis. They regulate all distributors, whether they're, you know, however the ownership and wherever they are in Australia, and you know, they're run by economists that I feel don't have a complete understanding of what the difference between operating a poles and wires operation in a rural area, which Essential Energy is, compared to the metropolitan counterparts. And I remember being howled down at the time because everyone wanted cheaper electricity prices, and I was quite excited and saying, well, that is true. Everyone does want to pay less for electricity, and there's no doubt with what the AER are proposing that electricity prices will come down, but it's all about getting a balance. And the balance is between electricity prices in rural areas having enough presence on the ground to have a safe and reliable supply of electricity, i.e. being able to maintain the network, being able to clear the vegetation, which is an issue that Peter probably didn't touch on as much, but essentially being able to prune vegetation away from power lines so that we don't see a repeat of what happened in Victoria, where a lot of that foliage actually caused fires start in those terrible, terrible bushfires we saw in Victoria. Mm. So the AER determination is going to have a dramatic impact on the bottom line of Essential Energy, and hence why aspects of that determination are currently being appealed. And I've just come from a meeting this morning with the union, the senior representatives of the ETU, and obviously met with senior management of Essential Energy on Tuesday, and I'm encouraging, along with my colleagues, both parties to actually, you know, stop this, you know, Mexican standoff and this argy-bargy, and actually sit down and negotiate an outcome to minimise the impact on the workforce, and actually make sure the organisation, within the constraints of what the AER have required, within those constraints, the organisation is as strong as possible, and we have as stronger presence as possible on the ground.
It's just to, I guess, the AER's decision, and that's fair enough, but it's Essential Energy's responsibility to continue to manage its operations, regardless of, I guess, its, you know, its financial situation. I mean, is it excusable for them to be leaving those kind of emergency questions, as Fire and Rescue have raised, in the community at the moment? I mean, do they have a charter of obligations that is the basic that they have to commit to providing in regional areas?
Yeah, my understanding is there is, and that was also part of the reason about arguing to keep the organisation publicly owned as well. But it was one of the aspects. But the issue about emergency and safety, and that was put, and certainly I put that question to the Essential Energy senior management in our meeting on Tuesday, and they said that safety was their number one priority. They've done a, they said that they had done an assessment about any proposal losses, and just on that, while I'm on that point, I have got confirmation from Essential Energy, and I conveyed that to Mayor Colton yesterday, as well as the general manager, that essentially you're proposing to close the Bingara depot, but those jobs stay. They relocated to the Warrielder depot, and there are no plans to actually close the Warrielder depot.
Because the staff are scared that they'll be next.
And understandably, Kelly, and this situation is a terrible one for employees, because there is still a lot of unknowns, because whilst Essential Energy have said in phase one we're going to reduce employees by 319, but at the moment the only way those employees can be reduced is from voluntary redundancies, and there's currently a challenge and a fight going on in the Fair Work Commission between the unions and Essential Energy about how that occurs, whether it's voluntary redundancies only or whether there are involuntary redundancies. So at the moment, this could drag on and drag on for months and months and months, and that's why I'm encouraging and urging both parties to come together and agree for the sake of the organisation, for the sake of employees on the ground, to actually minimise the losses and keep the organisation as strong as possible. Because it's for all of those reasons that Peter was talking about earlier, but also ensuring, as I've always stated, the people at the end of the line, the people at Mungundi, the North Stars, the Bonshores, they still have a safe and reliable supply of electricity.
Peter, Adam Marshall is with us on ABC News and of course the Nationals MP for the Northern Tablelands. Do you think though Essential Energy, while they may have said that safety is their priority, they did tell the media on Monday that this would lead to delays in responding to storms, and that was one of the likely impacts of the decision to cut staff. I think we've got that direct quote from Gary Humphries in some of the coverage from Monday. Have they adequately briefed the emergency services? Because it looks like from what we're hearing from Fire and Rescue New South Wales, this is a bit of a shock. The RFS locally didn't know about it. SES had no idea as well. We were making calls yesterday afternoon. Do you think they've handled this very well in terms of, you know, keeping alongside these other important emergency services in this conversation?
Well, Kelly, I don't know what briefings Essential Energy have given to other organisations and what discussions they've had, and that's more a question for Essential Energy, but certainly that is definitely a prime consideration, and safety it has to be the highest priority. And there's no doubt, if that's what Mr. Humphries has said in terms of delays in responding, then that was actually one of the chief arguments that we used, I used, my colleagues in the Nationals used, to actually oppose in our submission, and I put in a submission on behalf of my electorate, independent of other submissions, saying that, yeah, that was a big concern, that if the AER took a knife and it cut so deep as they're proposing to do in Essential Energy, then this was going to be the outcome, that we could lead to a situation that wasn't safe. And that's my, as a local MP, that's my, aside from the obvious job, Kelly, that's my number one concern, always has been and still is, about the impact of this. And that's why I'm glad to see that the appeal is being made, because, that is obviously my concern. And when I visit all the communities in my electorate, particularly the outlying ones, the ones that are susceptible that when a storm comes through or the transformer goes out, that they can be out of power for a considerable time. They're the ones that really feel the brunt of the impact. People, in the Tamworth, the Armidales, the larger centres, probably won't see any impact as much, but people in the rural and remote areas certainly will. And that's always been my concern.
So do you know what mechanisms or monitoring the government will be able to put in place? Obviously, it sounds like the court decision will hold up any changes in the sort of immediate sort of sense. But, will there be mechanisms to monitor Essential Energy's ability to respond to emergencies the government might look at? Or would you like to see the minister do that?
Yeah, there's certainly going to be, as with all the electricity distributors, there is a requirement, that they report on a regular basis about their response times and all of that. And that's something that, as a local MP, I always continue to have those discussions and always will with Essential Energy, just to address any issues, and of course if there's issues brought to me by the public. So yeah, that will occur. Just to clarify, you sort of touched on it there, my understanding from the discussions that I've been having this week is obviously Essential Energy have announced that these are the job losses, but they're not in a position to forcibly act on those. That will occur over a number of months if people choose to take a voluntary redundancy package. So this, and it all depends, there's two processes going that could change this dramatically. One is the appeal of the AER's determination, aspects of that, and also the determination through the Fair Work Commission, and maybe it might get to the federal court between the unions and the Essential Energy about voluntary versus involuntary redundancy. So that will impact on the ability to enact potential job losses. But again, I can only reinforce, Kelly, my strong view, and I've encouraged both Essential Energy and now this morning the unions to actually get into a room and try and negotiate this out in the interest of the organisation and the employees. It serves no one's interest to have the two major players, you know, are basically at loggerheads. Now, one says apples, the other one says oranges. And I can say that because I've met with both organisations.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, the Nats ran very hard on this issue in protecting jobs, particularly around Essential Energy, in the lead up to the election. It was one of the big issues. Is there anything more the Nationals can be doing to keep to that election promise?
Well, I mean, my commitment that I made was quite clear. I opposed the AER and studied my colleagues and kept Essential Energy in 100% public ownership. And the two issues are very separate then. I know some media outlets have sought to confuse the two issues. They are very separate because the AER regulates all electricity distributors, regardless of the nature of their ownership, public, private, or a mixture of
them. I appreciate that, but then I guess Essential Energy chooses how it makes the savings as well. So
that's right.
You know, it's their decision to cut stuff.
Yeah, so I'm going to, as I did at the meeting on Tuesday, and my colleagues will continue to encourage Essential Energy to minimise the impact in regional areas to make sure that the safe and reliable supply of electricity is not jeopardised, and safety is the number one priority, and I'll continue to push that with Essential Energy.
Alrighty, Adam Marshall, thank you for your time this morning.
No worries, thanks Kelly.
Thank you. Member for the Northern Tablelands, Adam Marshall. 4:09, ABC News, the North West. Will keep you posted and see if the Minister's available to respond to the emergency services concerns on the program. Well, what are post-school options like in the North West for people with a disability, and what are the opportunities like for